Chapter 5. Tara came into biology and sat in her usual place. Darcy swallowed hard and walked over to her desk. Before Darcy could say a word, Tara sheepishly mumbled, "Hey, sorry about Saturday. It was a dumb thing Cooper did." "Me too. I hope you're not still mad."
"Oh, it's okay," Darcy said, flooded with relief. She had dreaded this moment for so long, and now the problem was resolved.
"I got some books from the library for our report. I came up with a good problem for our project. We can focus on what happens to the plant and animal life when the water level rises 12 inches.
"Works for me," Tara said with a wide grin.
"We can observe things like mussels and scallops in the real shallow water and clams and anemones in the deeper water," Darcy said.
"Huh? What was the last thing you mentioned?" Tara asked.
"An anemone. They're like flowers under the water. Red and pink and green. I saw a brooding anemone down at the tidal pool."
"What was it brooding about?"
Tara asked with a twinkle in her eye.
"Somebody coming after it?"
Darcy had to laugh. "They can take care of themselves. They've got this mouth with 90 stinging tentacles."
"I thought you said they were pretty flowers. Ew."
Darcy had almost forgotten about the threatening note on her desk. In her relief at making up with Tara, she found it hard to believe that either Tara or Cooper had anything to do with the note. Even if they had, now that she and Tara were reconciled, the trouble would be over. She decided to put it out of her mind along with the memory of the water bug down her back.
"Let bygones be bygones," Grandma always used to say. "Carrying grudges is like carrying an open flame in your pocket. It's gonna burn you before it burns anybody else."
When Darcy got home from school, her mother was taking a pie from the oven to cool.
"Mom," Darcy asked in a worried voice, "won't you be late for work?"
Usually the minute Darcy got home, Mom was racing out the door, car keys in hand.
"I'm going right now, baby. I just baked an apple pie for you girls for dessert tonight. Maybe Grandma will feel well enough for a little piece, too." She used to love apple pie.
"She made the best apple pie in Pinellas County," Mom said.
"Honey, my friend Rhonda is picking up the first few minutes of my shift tonight, so I've got some extra time. Tell me about school. How's it going?"
"Oh, everything is fine, Mom. I'm working on a science project on tidal pools, and it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to learn about all kinds of weird sea creatures."
"Sweetie, I'm sorry I didn't tell you girls the whole truth about your father. I was just so ashamed, you know," Mom said softly.
"It's okay, Mom. It doesn't change anything. He left. That's all that's important," Darcy said.
"It just shamed me so much that he ran off with another woman," Mom said. "She was a real pretty little thing. Skinny, nice legs, and she was young. That girl was 24 and I was almost 40 and I looked it. I was carrying 10, 15 pounds that had no business being on this body and..."
"Mom, stop it," Darcy snapped. "You were pretty and you still are, right to this day. It didn't have a thing to do with you. He was just no good."
"Oh, honey, don't say that. It's just that he was growing older, too. That bothered him a lot. Midlife crisis, you know. He'd tell me all the time, 'Maddie, I'm in my 40s. You know how old that is? No man in my family ever lived to be 50, so I'm almost dead. And all I've ever done is sell vacuum cleaners and live in a crappy neighborhood.' He just sort of went crazy thinking he hardly had any time left and he wanted something to make him feel young again. And she was it. I guess he must have thought if he had a 24-year-old girl on his arm, then he must be a young man again somehow."
Glancing at the clock, Darcy hugged her mother tightly and kissed her on the cheek.
"You better run now, Mom. Don't think about it anymore. It's over.
And stop worrying about me and Jamie. We can handle it. Besides, how bad can life be when we've got your apple pie to eat?" Her mother gave her a weak smile.
"I'll try to get Grandma to eat some too," Darcy continued. "Don't work too hard tonight, okay?"
"Depends on how many ambulances come screaming up to the ER, baby," Mom said, finally going out the door. As soon as she was gone, the telephone rang. Jamie wasn't home yet. Sometimes she was late doing cheerleader practice, but she was pretty good about calling home when she was going to be very late.
"Hello?
Darcy said. There was no answer, but on the other end of the line there was a long, horrifying scream, the kind you hear in horror movies. Then the caller hung up. For an instant, Darcy was shaken, but then she thought it had to be a prank.
Some fool had just played a Halloween sound effects tape into the phone. Darcy didn't think she knew anyone stupid enough to pull a stunt like that. Had she been randomly called by a stranger? Or was someone she knew trying to scare her? The same person who wrote that awful note?
Darcy forced the call out of her mind and went into Grandma's room. Grandma was very confused today. She thought she was a little girl again, living in her mother's house in Alabama. Darcy used to try to talk Grandma out of her confused notions, but now she just went along with whatever Grandma was thinking. It made her less agitated.
"Mama won't like it that I've stayed here past supper," Grandma said. "Mama wants us home by supper."
"It's all right," Darcy assured her.
"Mama says it's all right for us kids to have fun long as we're home by supper time,"
Grandma insisted. "Yes," Darcy replied.
"Mama says the woods are full of bad things like snakes. I saw one once,"
Grandma said, shuddering at the memory. Darcy gave Grandma a small slice of apple pie. Grandma smiled and smacked her lips.
"This is delicious. My mama makes the best pies."
Darcy stayed with Grandma until she fell asleep. Then she headed into the kitchen to do some studying. A few minutes later, Jamie got home. She tried to race unseen to her room, but Darcy saw her.
"Jamie!" Darcy cried, jumping up. "What happened?"
Jamie's left eye was almost swollen shut, and her cheek was scratched and bruised.
"We were practicing chairs, and we were doing a pyramid, and I was at the top and fell, that's all," Jamie said. "It's no big deal. Why do you have to go and make a big deal out of everything?"
"Jamie, you're lying. I can always tell when you're lying."
"You got in a fight, didn't you?"
Darcy demanded. Jamie glared at Darcy.
"Won't you just leave me alone? Aren't things bad enough around here without you dogging me like a cop or something? Just leave me alone."
"Jamie, if somebody hit you, I want to know about it," Darcy pleaded.
"I don't want people beating up on my little sister."
"What if somebody did punch me?" Jamie said.
"So what? What are you going to do about it? I fell down doing cheers, okay? That's what I'm saying went down, and you don't know any different, okay? So just mind your own business."
Jamie hurried into her room and slammed the door. Darcy knew Jamie was not telling her everything. She decided to call Alicia Roble, Jamie's old friend from school. Darcy rummaged through the phone book and found the number.
"Hi, Alicia, this is Darcy, Jamie Will's sister. Listen, was there a fight at school today?"
"A fight? I didn't see any fight. I was in the library during the free period and,
well, I just don't know about any fight," Alicia said.
"Jamie says she fell down during cheerleading practice, but she's so banged up she looks as if somebody hit her," Darcy said. "Alicia, you're on the cheerleading squad too. Were you guys practicing today?"
"Today? Sorry, gotta go. Mom's calling. Bye."
The phone clicked in Darcy's ear. Darcy went to Jamie's room and rapped on the door.
"Go away!" Jamie yelled.
"Jamie, you gotta talk to me or I'm calling Mom," Darcy said. After a few seconds, Jamie opened the door.
"What do you want? Haven't you done enough? You messed it up for me with Bobby and now you just want to rub it in my face. Just leave me alone."
"Did Bobby Wallace hit you?" Darcy demanded. A frightened look came onto Jamie's wounded face. Her eyes grew enormous.
"No, he didn't. Whoever told you that is a dirty liar. I was in his car for 2 minutes and all he did was yell and cuss me out. If that little witch, Alicia Roble, said Bobby hit me, she's lying. She couldn't even see what happened in the car."
"Jamie, you're lying. You broke up with that punk and he hit you," Darcy stormed. Panic showed in Jamie's eyes.
"Don't stick your nose in this, Darcy. I'm warning you. You'll only make things worse. Somebody could get hurt."
Jamie turned and slammed the door in Darcy's face. Darcy felt sick. As long as Jamie denied that Bobby had hit her, there was nothing Darcy could do. But it made Darcy furious to think that Bobby had worked out his rage on her little sister. Darcy checked on Grandma and then went to clean up the kitchen. She washed the dishes, put them away, and leaned forward to close the kitchen curtains. Then she saw the silver Toyota again. It was parked across the street from her building. The stocky man in the baseball cap sat at the wheel.
"Oh my God," Darcy whispered.
Thoughts flooded her mind. He knew where Darcy lived. He was here. Sometime during the night, he could find a way to get inside the apartment. It wouldn't matter how securely the doors and windows were locked. He could get in and be standing there in the darkness. Darcy rushed to the telephone and called the police. She told them that for the last few days she had been followed by a man in a silver Toyota. Now he was parked across the street. The police sergeant told Darcy to lock the door and a squad car would be there in a few minutes. Darcy watched from the window as a police car pulled behind the silver Toyota. The Toyota started up when its driver saw the police car, but when he heard a loud speaker advising him to stop, he did. Darcy watched as police approached on both sides of the car. It was dark outside, and Darcy's view was partially blocked by several parked cars. She struggled to see what was happening. The man in the baseball cap handed some kind of ID out the window. The officers took their time checking it. Then the man must have been asked to step away from the car. As she watched, Darcy was trembling. She could not see the man clearly even when he was in the street because officers surrounded him. They checked him for weapons, and it looked as if he didn't have any. Then he got back in his car and waited while one of the officers came toward Darcy's apartment.
"Police," he said crisply at the door.
Darcy opened it.
"Are you Darcy Wills, the person who made the call on the silver Toyota?"
"Yes. Who is that man? What does he want? He's been at my school and everywhere I've been. Why is he stalking me?" Darcy asked with increasing agitation.
"He claims to be your father, miss,"
the officer replied calmly. Darcy's heart pounded wildly. She gasped as if she were choking. "My father? No, it can't be. My father has been in New York for years."
"He said his name is Carl Wills and his ID checks out. He has no outstanding warrants. He said he has two daughters, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old that he hasn't seen in 5 years. I asked him to tell me when your birth date is. He said you were born on April 6th. Is that correct?"
"Yes, but anybody could have known that," Darcy stammered.
"Miss, I'm going to ask my partner to have the man step from the car and walk under the street lamp. You should be able to see him pretty well from here, enough to know if it could be your father," the officer said.
"But I haven't seen him in 5 years, Darcy said.
"Just take a good look," the officer said. "Is your mother home?"
"No, she's at work. There's nobody here but my sister and my grandma, and grandma's sick," Darcy answered.
"All right," the officer said. "Just take it easy."
Darcy watched the heavy man get out of the car again. He shuffled to the corner under a bright streetlight. Darcy remembered her father sprinting across a field after a baseball as fast as a teenager. It couldn't be him, she told herself. Her father took such pride in his body, in keeping fit. He used to work out at the gym and brag about wearing the same clothes size he did as a teenager.
"My daddy got fat, and then he got old,"
Darcy remembered her father saying with a sharp laugh.
"I'm not going that route. No way."
Now the man was standing directly under the light. For a moment, he reminded Darcy of a pathetic, baggy-pants, two-bit clown caught in the footlights of a cheap theater. The man removed his baseball cap, revealing short gray hair like the stiff bristle of stubby dead grass at the end of the summer. Darcy's father had black hair, as black as the shiny surface of the black Mercedes he dreamed of and never got. Dad's skin was smooth as a just-ripe plum. This man had a pouchy face, like a balloon with most of the air leaked out. He had dark circles under his eyes. His whole body sagged, like a partially full garbage bag with the load shifting towards the bottom. But the more she looked, the more Darcy saw something familiar in the man's face.
"It's him. It's my father," she whispered.
"Well, what would you like for us to do, miss?"
the officer asked after radioing his partner that the man could return to his car.
"Tell him to go away, please," Darcy said. Just tell him to go away.
Tears blinded Darcy and her shoulders shook. He said he was trying to work up enough courage to contact you. You don't want to talk to him, is that right? The officer asked.
Just tell him to leave us alone, Darcy sobbed.
All right then. We'll advise him that he runs the risk of being arrested for stalking if he bothers you anymore. Would you like a restraining order?
What's that?
That's an order that officially warns a person to stay away from someone who's afraid of that person. If he violates the order, he could be immediately arrested. Your mother could talk that over with you tomorrow.
No, Darcy responded, but tell him to go away.
Just then, Jamie came out of her bedroom. The loud music in her room had prevented her from hearing Darcy's call to the police department. She looked shocked to find the police in the living room. The officer looked at Jamie and then Darcy. What is that all about? He asked, his gaze on Jamie's bruised face.
I fell during cheerleader practice, Jamie said shrilly. If she's told you something else, it's a lie.
Jamie, Darcy said, grabbing her sister's hand and pulling her to the window. Look out the window at that Toyota. That's Dad. He was sitting out there and I didn't know who he was and I called the police. He's been trying to talk to us.
Jamie stared through the window.
That lump in the car? That fat guy? That's not my father. That's not Daddy.
Jamie caught her breath and her gasp ended in a sob.
Is it?